What's going on? Welcome back to the Search Economy Podcast. I'm your host, Brett McGrath, excited to keep the SCORE series rolling for you. We have covered the S, which is strategy. We've covered the C, which is conversion. And on today's episode, I'm digging into the O, which is outreach with David. We are talking about backlinks, authority score, the best way to go about outreach, and everything in between. This series is to get you to understand the steps we take at Numa to get our customers to find their next customers. If you like what we're doing over here, follow, subscribe, hit all the buttons. Make sure you subscribe to the Search Economy newsletter. Link is in the show notes. Without further ado, let's kick it to the conversation. All right, we are back. The Search Economy walking through SCORE. We have done the S, we've done the C, and now we're on to the O, which is outreach. David, I want to go off script a little bit, and this is maybe a little unplanned, but I was kind of thinking about it before we jumped on.
You're daring we're talking, to go off script with me. I could go for a while on anything.
I know, it'll be Mr. Toad's Wild Ride. before we get into like outreach from an SEO perspective, I want to get your perspective on just outreach in general and how important outreach has been in terms of building Numa and growing the business.
That is a good one. You actually, I don't know if I've told you this. I'm going to look it up on my email since I'm on the computer. Outreach was one of the ways that when I started the business, I didn't know anything better. I didn't know anything else to do. And I was like, you know what? What's the easiest way to get in front of people and just start testing things? So I started cold emailing people. I would email, I was a big runner back then and I was living in Chicago at the time. So I would run long runs, 10, 15 miles. And I just, every time I found a business, I'd take a photo of it. I'd go home and then I would find all the contact information and then I would email everybody that I ran past on my run. And we picked up quite a few clients from that. It started there. Then I slowly started to get a little bit more, you know, savvy with it. Right. So, did some automated outreach and did different things and always treated it like a marketing message. There wasn't really ever much of a pitch, but it was like, you know, hey, looked at your website, found these things, and, the scalability of it probably wasn't there, but it was a very easy way to get in front of people, add value and test Numa. The one that I don't think I told you that actually helped us win quite a bit of business from one cold outreach message. Whenever I worked back in the day, I liked working with Shark Tank on in the background. Figured if I needed a little extra boost to do some work, Shark Tank wasn't the worst thing in the world to listen to. So I turned it on, I'd listen to it. And then one of the episodes, Mark Cuban said, if you find my email and you email me, I will respond. And I was like, okay, challenge accepted. So I found something like, and actually I got it pulled up. I think I found six of his emails. Yeah, I found six of his emails from the Dallas Mavs email to his own personal email to emails from other companies and sent them a random email at, let's see, 6:54 at night on a Monday, offering a free website for any one of his portfolio companies if he would just respond. And he got back to me 2 minutes later, gave us a free website, and we used it as a portfolio piece for a long time and moved forward. So I always give that. I don't know if you actually knew that, which is why I was like, that's a great question. But that was back in the early days. I mean, I had just, I don't even know if I was full-time with the company yet. I think I was just really getting the foundations in place to jump full-time. And that was a big needle mover for me because we had an opportunity to have a really impressive website get done and then market against it as somebody that was trusted by Mark Cuban. Even though it was free, it was still an agreement nonetheless. So yeah, really cool story, but I always come back to that to say it's a no until you ask. Even if you shoot an email and nobody gets back, it was a no before, it's still a no, but you run a good risk of getting in front of somebody that could have a nice impact on the business. So yeah, outreach, very impactful to why Numa's here today.
I wish you would have told me that in advance. We would have gotten the Mark Cuban's face and we would have crafted some quote and we put it on the website. Maybe we can do that with the future state of the website.
Future state of the website. I like it. But yeah, it still cracks me up that the Mark Cuban, and I'm looking at his response. Yeah, it was 4 minutes, not 3 minutes. 4 minutes later, got back to me on a Monday night, which for him, Central Time was what, 7:58, almost 8 p.m. So it just goes to show, man. It's crazy who can reach by email, but it's definitely worth shooting your shot and seeing who will respond.
So you talk about this, you know, running in Chicago, and taking photos of businesses you saw, and then coming back and reaching out to them, and you know, going through that process. There's a lot of steps, a lot of work. I think about that, and I don't think like outreach isn't like a sexy topic to people. Like, people don't like to do outreach. It's complicated. You have to write the message. You have to follow up. There's be persistent, many steps. But like you said, you can learn something, experiment, test, learn what messages are hitting, what messages are not. We're going to get into outreach from an SEO perspective, but what, like, I just described it as being like tedious in a way. But it also can be rewarding. Like, why? It seems like there's like this bad connotation right now with doing outreach and how, you know, it could be damaging your brand, all these other things. But I also think for the most part, it can lead to some really productive outcomes. So like today, like, how do you think about outreach?
Yeah, I think the more targeted, the better. And I think of our clients, as we get into what outreach means within the scope of SCORE and link building and backlinks and all the fun things, right? If you're not telling your story, if you're not getting visibility for your brand, either someone else is telling your story or someone else is taking that visibility. So, you know, outreach shouldn't just be run and gun. It shouldn't be, I'm going to try and get 100,000 backlinks today and I'm going to email a million different websites over the next year and see what happens. I wouldn't do that. I would be targeted with the approach. I would be systematic with the approach. But, you know, it's one of those things that, while it might not be the most efficient, it's the easiest to get started, and it's one of the most beneficial as well. And it's one of those things that maybe it's not your main way of acquiring backlinks and building authority for your site, but it's one of many, and it's certainly the one that you can rely upon.
So you mentioned backlinks, and that's maybe where we should start. For anyone who's listening who has never heard of a backlink, what is a backlink and why does it matter?
Yeah, if you've never heard of backlinks, I always start with press as the example. If you read a press article and it's like, you know, local company changes the face of marketing, and right, it has a whole article on that and it links back to that company's website. That link from one website back to another company's website is what's called a backlink. So that one individual link is really powerful in the SEO world. The other analogy I always give is, think of it like a recommendation. So Brett, if I said, since you're a big hot water heater guy, I said, hey, I need a hot water recommendation. Who do you have? And you're like, oh, I got somebody. Like, I'll refer them to you. Backlinks in many ways act as referrals, or, you know, almost like a vote of confidence to Google. So if you're building a website, and we'll just use Numa as an example. We have our own website, Numa Media. And if other people are linking to us, let's say Forbes and Inc. and the Indianapolis Star and different websites like that, and they all link back to Numa, Google looks at that and says, wow, these are three really impressive websites that are all linking back to Numa for various reasons. Numa must have their stuff together. Anytime somebody Googles a term that's related to what they're doing, we'll send them traffic. So it's a very high level. If you're listening to this and you know exactly what backlinks are, you're probably cringing to say, oh, there's so much nuance there. There is, but at a very basic level, it's just another site linking back to you. It's an easy way to get authority and some extra visibility for your brand.
Since I'm a big water heater guy, next time I'm going to wear my Bassett water and heating hat. Shout out to the Bassett team who, when they made a mistake, said they were sorry and paid for their mistake, which is always a good sign of a service-based company. So I like this idea that this credibility, referrals, using the PR press example. From what I gather, it sounds like Google is looking for your site to have some sort of authority, so that they can then, they trust it and then they can rank it accordingly. I know that there's an authority score, that's in play. What is the authority score and how does it work? Okay, so that's good context on the authority score, good setup on backlinks. I've been working in marketing for way too long, but I've hit the level where I receive regular emails, maybe not so much anymore as I used to, but there was a period of time where I would get all these emails from a bunch of strangers, people I don't know, and they would say, hey, would you want to trade backlinks? Like, and this is why, this is what we want to do, this is why. And it would always just rub me the wrong way because, number one, like, I have no idea who you are. I have no idea what your brand does. And I would just ignore those. And sometimes if they got sent to me at the wrong time, I might respond with something and maybe or not use some choice words just to try to get them to never reach out to me. So my perception on backlinks before being deeply integrated with an SEO agency was kind of negative. How do you make sure if you're participating in a backlink strategy or trying to get one off the ground, how do you make sure you do it in a way that Google is going to say, you know what, this is what we like, this is what we want, as opposed to it being something that could potentially damage the brand that you're already building?
Yeah, it's a fantastic question. Honestly, when it comes to backlinks, I think the best way to avoid issues around your backlink strategy or making sure you're in the right strategy, not the wrong, is some good old-fashioned elbow grease. It's manual work. It's really diving into things, right? Too many places, I think, fall into the trap of just going out and buying backlinks. And if you're in the space or you've worked in like with an SEO agency before, you've heard that term. Buying backlinks isn't a bad thing. Doing it manually isn't always a bad thing either. You just have to dig a little bit deeper, right? It often involves going into the sites and vetting out what topics are talking about, their history is a site, what type of content is on the site, is the site usable? Would you jump on there and trust any of the information that you found, right? I think SEOs have such a tendency to make things so gradable or quantitative, throw it on a spreadsheet and just grade it from there. But it does really come down to looks as well. And I hate to use the word common sense, but like common sense, would I trust this site or not? If not, it's probably not a good site. If I did, it's definitely worth some, some more detail or more information. So I think you can look at it a lot of different ways. I think in your example as well, that's one of many ways to build a backlink, right? Now there are better ways to do it than not. But I always say if, for one of our clients' brands, if they have like a big partner network, really easy ways to reach out to people that you already have a relationship and see if they're willing to backlink for you and even explain what the benefit is for them and how it is going to ultimately benefit them. I think the other thing I'd say as well, and we touched on it about buying for backlinks, and I think it's a good conversation to have. There's always going to be conversations about buying backlinks, whether it's smart, whether it's not. And it's definitely just not that black and white. Every great SEO professional and firm, I'll put that stake in the ground, is going to pay for backlinks. It's about paying for backlinks from a trusted resource that you're partnered up with, that you can trust them, or you know the deliverable sites where those links are going to end up. It's all about just honestly who you know and having the right partnerships. And at Pneuma, we have a very good partnership network, and I think we do a really good job of this, of finding the right sites to get posted on. And right quality things come with a cost, and that's fine. That's on us to determine the strategy of how we do that and do it best for you. If you were to just go on to Fiverr and find somebody to buy you 100 links for $10, it's probably going to fail. But equally, if you're going to go buy a link for $15,000, I'd probably question that as well. The goal is to find the right links for your website that's not only going to help you grow your SEO, but it's also just going to make sure that your domain authority can continue to grow, you have the right content on the internet, and your story's being told in the right way.
We're chasing quantity as marketers always. We want more leads, more pipeline, more revenue, more everything, so that when we get integrated into a strategy like backlinks, the mindset of the marketer or the owner of the business who's, you know, playing the role of the marketer too is, let's get more backlinks and let's make sure that quantity is high. When I think, based on you saying you're going to talk about this a lot throughout the episode, we should be focusing in on quality. So maybe talk about the importance between quality of backlinks, which I know you touched on a little bit there, quality versus quantity.
Yeah. You know, whenever I go in and audit a site, and let's say it's site A versus site B, I'll go look at the websites. I'll go look at the backlinks that they have, and I'll try and paint the picture of the backlink gap. And sometimes I'll look at a site that, you know, they have one backlink and a competitor has 1,000. And you're like, oh, my, that's a huge 999 link gap. How am I ever going to build that? But what you start doing is you start putting in some quality filters, right? So domain authority needs to be higher than 30. It needs to be not in the footer or a header. It needs to be an actual content. The content needs to be updated. The content needs to be getting some traffic. The overall site needs to be in a healthy spot. All of a sudden that 999 or 1,000 number gets closer to like 40. Okay, I only need to build 20 or 30 links. That's much more achievable than not. And I think SEO, again, I think people have a tendency of making it very quantifiable or very gradable. I just want to look at a spreadsheet and go act. But with backlinks, quality truly is far more than quantity. Not all links are weighed equally, but you can get one link from a really trusted outlet. Let's say like a great feature on Forbes could be far more worth it than 100 features on a small outlet close by to where you live, let's say. Doesn't mean that they're better or worse. It just means you got to know the weight that they have and the impact of being able to go get one of those. So I think quality is really the most important thing. Whenever we look at that quote unquote backlink gap, I'm not trying to match that link number up one-to-one. If your competitor has 1,000 links, you don't need to go get 1,000 links. You need to go get the right links. That might be 20. That might be 30. And there are a lot of sites where we have 95% of the links that a competitor has, and we've done well. There are other sites where the other competitor sites have done a great job, and we actually need to have at least 80, 90% of what they have as a link profile to compete as well. So again, it goes case by case. There's no one formula to do it. But looking at your competitors' links, looking at yours, and really filling that void with quality, because it's going to be tempting to say, oh, they have 1,000 more links. Let me just go buy 1,000. That's got to work, right? Not quite. You want to find the right ones and understanding and having a team, hint us, to go in there and determine what is that right number? Where can we go get those links? Why are they important? And how are they going to paint a larger picture for your SEO campaign? Really just create a larger impact are all important considerations to be had. But I think you had a great point. Marketers have a tendency of also just going for quantity. More is better, right? Links are one of those things where more can be better, but it's not always true. You definitely want to have a good consideration of quality in links, because getting a large quantity of low quality links is not going to move you forward at all.
So as I prepared for this episode, I reached out to some of the team and I was like, hey, this is what I'm planning to talk about with David. Do you have any feedback? And shout out to Mills on the sales team. Mills put this in, which call me naive when it comes to backlinks, but I had never heard of this. So I thought this was interesting and I'm sure it goes along the lines with this topic. But he said, what is a toxic backlink? So help educate us on what a toxic backlink is. Sounds dirty. Sounds nasty.
Broadly speaking, a toxic backlink is an incoming link to your website that negatively affects your site's visibility. That's the easiest way to put it. What deems it toxic or not toxic is going to be, well, where did you get it? What is the site? Is it a good site? Is it a bad site? Some of those other things that we've talked about in the past as well. Finding just bad quality sites, doing a little bit of elbow grease and manual work to figure that out is really where this stems from. 9 times out of 10, a toxic backlink means that it's a very low authority score, or Google, and in this case, SEMrush, is deeming it to be negative, to impact your site in some way, shape, or form. And 9 times out of 10, you can find a toxic backlink. You can look at it and be like, yeah, I wouldn't trust that site with like anything. I wouldn't even want to load it on my computer. Probably a toxic backlink. Here's the thing I'll even add to that as well, which I think is more important. Imagine you're in a client's shoes and you get onboarded and we're like, hey, client, we're going to disavow these toxic backlinks. Before I can even say they're not your fault, sometimes they just happen. The client's like, well, how did they get there? Totally fine. Not to worry you, but I guarantee you, if you're listening to this, your site probably has some level of a toxic backlink profile. It is what it is. Doesn't mean you've done anything. Doesn't mean anyone on your team's done anything. It's the fact that it's on the internet. And we could have a whole podcast of how toxic links pop up. Probably not important. The most important part is we can what's called disavow them and remove them from your site. So I think credit score is a great example of this. Let's say you have a bunch of hard inquiries on your credit and all of them fall off. Your credit score goes up, right? all of these things that were pulling your credit score down have disappeared, and they're only looking at the positive things. Similar for toxic backlinks. If we want to look at your whole backlink profile, the first thing we do is pull out some of these detractors because they're impacting your site, and we want to give Google a better positive profile to look at, not a positive and a negative profile to look at. So toxic backlinks ultimately are just backlinks that are impacting your site's visibility. Typically, they're coming from sites that have a very low authority score or from any semblance of the word, just look and feel spammy and aren't likely a trusted source on the internet.
Okay, so we're going to jump back into outreach. Before we do that, we mentioned no to quantity. Don't focus on quantity. We mentioned avoiding toxic backlinks. Is there anything else notable that we should avoid when we're thinking about building our first backlink strategy?
You know, I started with press, and I always give this example of backlinks are not press. They're easy to explain in the mindset of press, but don't get so caught up in what the article says. From an SEO perspective, a PR article that's 10,000 words that tells your story could be just as impactful as an article that somebody else wrote on marketing where they just link to Numa Media being an SEO agency somewhere in the content, right? So don't get so caught up with the appearance of the blog in terms of content or even if it's about you. Some of the best backlinks that Numa has and other of our clients are well, they're just snuck into a pre-existing article. And they're just, you know, let's say we're talking about vitamin gummies. We're just sneaking it into an article already about vitamin gummies. So don't get too caught up with that. The main thing we care about is the anchor text. It literally what's hyperlinked back to your site. And if that link is a do follow, that gets more technical there. Do follow and no follow links. You want the do follow links because they bring the link juice with them from site to site. But again, you really just want that link. Everything else on top of that is a cherry on top. But if you can find a systematic way to build quality links like Numa has, you're going to be in a good spot.
So jumping over to outreach, maybe example here at Numa, understanding how we should be thinking about outreach. I've gathered it's probably not a one-size-fits-all approach, digging into the strategy, what you're doing. And as we discussed this, it was like, all right, what should our outreach strategy be? And we focused in on, well, we've got customers coming on the podcast. This is podcast inception. We're talking about our own podcast while we're recording a podcast. We've got customers on the podcast who are recording episodes and we're producing content. So wouldn't it make sense for us to reach out to those customers after the episode goes live and say, hey, here's the episode with you on it where you talked about all these things and you sounded really smart. Would you mind putting, you know, that link on your website? You know, as a backlink to us. And so like, that is what we've focused in on. And I think it makes a lot of sense, especially based on the whole process of meeting someone, recording content, and then following up with them. So that's what we're doing. But I'm curious, just in terms of like, what you've seen work well in the past, like maybe talk through some just different outreach strategies that can be effective.
What we've done for Numa, I think, is a good example of what a lot of clients can do as well. What's the easiest, lowest barrier entry place to start? Talk to other people that might have an interest in linking to you. And, you know, podcast guests for us is a really easy example. But for a lot of our clients, they have, you know, a laundry list of like partners and vendors that they work with. Publishing a joint article about how you all work together is a really easy way to do that. I think that's, you know, those are all manual ways. You can definitely do some outreach to different like local publications. So I used Indianapolis Star earlier. You can go write the Indianapolis Star about why you should be featured. That's definitely one of them. Knowing journalists or reporters is always an easy way to do it because they're always looking for people to link and insight to share. One of the ways that we haven't talked about, but there's a type of backlink that we just call a natural backlink. They naturally happen because you're in the space. And I think one thing, Brett, that we'll end up seeing as well, by promoting the podcast, by posting content on LinkedIn, by posting it on Instagram, by multiple people posting on each of those platforms, I should say, by having the newsletter, by having an email side of things as well, naturally people are going to start quoting us and building in some backlinks as well. So I'd say one of the easiest ways is create content. The more that you're telling your story, the more that you're getting out there, the more people will link to you. But if you can layer on a more holistic strategy, and it doesn't have to be anything crazy, reach out to customers, reach out to vendors, reach out to reporters or local journalists, or even somebody national, or maybe somebody industry focused. If you're in, let's say, farming and ag, go reach out to somebody specific there. Something systematic like that on top of just creating your own content is a very easy way to build backlinks.
Is there anything that you've learned through your through you going through this process that you'd recommend in terms of making it like super easy on the person that you're reaching out to actually get what you're looking for done or posting the link somewhere? Like what works, what doesn't?
Yeah, let's say if a vendor of ours reached out to Numa, a partner, somebody that's referred us a deal and said, hey, we'd love to do a joint piece. You'll get a backlink. I'll get a backlink. The first thing I'm asking is, okay, where's this piece of content? Who creates it? Because everything is going to live in that good piece of content, right? Providing an example piece of content 9 times out of 10 makes that process go much quicker. I'll have some quick edits, send it back. We're good to go. So I always say, if you're asking for the link, bring the content. If you're being asked for a link, they should probably be providing the content because it's their idea, so to speak. But I think that's the easiest way to make it easy on the person who's asking for the link or to build a link. Bring that piece of content. If you're, you know, have an idea, a lot of these journalists and reporters as well, right? They're always looking for a good piece of content. While they won't take what you've written, if you give them a nice story or a nice quote, they can definitely build an article around it if they see fit as well. So always try and provide people with little talking points, snippets, or even the full article, because I found that to be a much easier way to go out and build a link.
I think it's really easy when you're, you know, maybe thinking about SEO and you're understanding outreach and backlink strategy to be like, okay, we need to reach out to a bunch of people and try to get some backlinks. And then it just like falls off the table and you never go back to it. Is that okay? Like, is that how we should be thinking about it? Or should we be thinking about it from the perspective of it being just a consistent part of our workflow where we're constantly reaching out to new companies, partners, podcast guests to link? Like, should it be ongoing or just in a moment in time?
I always vote ongoing. You can always have moment in time, but it won't last very long is what I'll say. Like, I think good, positive, consistent momentum is always the best way to go. I use working out as an example. If I was to work out really hard for 6 months and then do nothing for the following 6 months, I'm probably ending up at square one. Like I'm back to the beginning, right? I gave 6 months of work and then I didn't do 6 months worth of work and I didn't make it very far. And there's nothing really tangible that's going to keep me there. But if I was to work out maybe less hard, but for the full year, I'm going to end up in a much better spot. So I'll always take maybe less quantity, but consistent work month over month, week over week on the backlink side of things. I think that's what scares people is that, you know, it's going to be so hard to catch up. I don't know, like find a way or build a system, whether with an agency or not, that you're going to get a few links a month. That could be business changing from an SEO perspective, 6 to 9 months down the line. And that's just the reality of it. Like you're not going to need so many that you need to try and build 100 a month. Small movements, consistent movements over time, much like SEO, can make a pretty big impact.
I can't get this soundbite out of my head because I got the clip and just used the clip in the promotion, but Jim saying SEO takes time, which he like I've heard that a million times, and just hearing I hear it from Jim Brown's voice in my head when I think about it, which I don't know if it's a good thing or a bad thing.
I don't know.
Shout out Jim. How long does like a good backlink strategy take to work? I'm assuming it takes time, but how much time?
Yeah, and that's the funny thing. If you can get a really good link right out of the gate, you might have some quicker impact. Not to say that Jim was incorrect, but SEO can take time. But the reason it can take time is that quality work has to compound. And that's just what we've seen time and time and time again, that quality work needs time to really, I'd almost say, saturate itself on Google and really make the impact. But we've also had clients where a few backlinks out of nowhere can create that impact quickly. So I always say plan for the long haul. If you get the short term, even better. But on a good backlink strategy, I start to see a tipping point around that 3 to 6 month mark and then really start to see visible ranking impact from month 6 to 9. What I also tell people as well, you're not going to have someone come inbound and say, I saw you on this outlet, like so glad. If you do, that's great. I'm setting the expectation of you're not going to see that. But what you will see is your rankings on your site start to increase because of the actions that we're taking on other sites. We've had clients that are like, oh, somebody found us from that backlink article you created. Fantastic. Even better. Like that's a cherry on top. But the thing I get most excited about is those backlinks impacting keyword rankings.
All right. We're getting ready to close out this episode, but maybe just some signals or things we should be looking at or that happen when we know that our backlink strategies are on the right track or working.
you see keywords going up. We talked about it a bit in the conversion episode, right? Like, when do you know conversion's working? You have more people fill out a form fill or buy your product, right? Like, I try and keep things simple. There are plenty of small, minute technical metrics you can look into about, you know, site traffic and small keyword movements and ranking and authority score and these small trends. But yeah, I always tell when a backlink works that if a keyword, let's say, is moving up two or three spots and we get a nice round of backlinks published to a specific page in the site to, I'd say, very targeted to increase, one or two keywords, specific keywords, and all of a sudden those keywords move up 10, 15, 20 positions, it's a good sign, right? And I'd say the other thing as well is that once you have that keyword ranking, you're in the top three, let's say, and you stay there for a long time. And I'm not saying weeks or months, I'm saying years. That's typically a good sign that you have a good backlink strategy as well, because you have the authority to get to that spot and you have the authority to keep it as well.
Hopefully you learned a thing or two about backlinks and how good backlink strategies work. We'll be chatting about Recode next, which David, I'm excited to see how you take on Recode. I haven't prepared for this episode, but I'm excited for it.
I'm having the most fun talking about this one, actually. I think this is where most people actually glaze over, but I mean, as a snippet, I audited a site today that's lost 27,000 monthly visitors. And I truly believe it's all due to technical SEO or Recode issues, as we'd call them. It's the building blocks of your site. If you do it wrong, the site or the house tumbles in on itself. So there's my sneak peek. I'm excited to dive in.
That's what we call a teaser. Tune in next time. David, appreciate it. Looking forward to the next installment.
Let's rock and roll.
I'm really enjoying this series, getting a chance to understand the methodology we use at Numa to get our customers their next customer. I'm new here, relatively new, and it's fun to dig into some examples, dig into some ways that we've evolved. And I think a big way we've done that is to bring SCORE to market. So excited to share. We are keeping this series rolling. Make sure you dig in. We'll be back next week and we'll talk to you soon.